And welcome again to Cougars Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me is Emilio Dinello. In this special episode, we will discuss the signing of Jamie O'Hara for Fulham today. We'll share our thoughts on the signing, along with some of what the Fulham supporters shared about this on the Cutters Talk Facebook page and also on the Cutters Talk Twitter account. Before we get into the discussion, I have to say hello to my co-host. First of all, Emilio, how you doing, my friend?
Good evening, good afternoon, Russ. It's nice to be back again. So it's a shame that, you know, I haven't been able to join you on some of the Saturday shows, but it's good to be here on an impromptu meeting conversation tonight, you know, about Jamie O'Hara signing for the club. And yeah, be glad to be back on the show. And yeah, interesting to see what the other fans have said about the signing. Obviously, I'm happy to share my thoughts about the signing as well.
Yes, listen, it should be interesting. I'm going to be sharing some thoughts that some people tweeted to me on the Cottage Talk Twitter account and then also put on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I'll share them with you in a little bit. But before we do that, I want to get your thoughts on the signing, Emilio. What type of role do you think he could possibly have with Fulham this season? And do you approve of the signing?
Yes, it's probably one of, you know, one of the worst kept secrets, you know, that Jamie O'Hara was going to sign for Fulham. You know, obviously he's been training with the squad for the last 2 weeks. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not so surprised we've signed him because we've been linked with him whilst we were in the Premiership for several seasons, if I recall. He was always a June, July time of play that we were interested in, was young, had potential. Unfortunately, he went through a little spell with quite a few serious injuries over the last 3 or 4 years. And that's resulted in him not playing as many first-team football matches as he would have liked. He's 28 now. You know, still got a few years ahead of him. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not necessarily massively inspired by the signing. And the fact that they've only given him a one-year deal implies that that the club still has reservations about those injuries that he's sustained over the last few seasons. So, you know, he's a useful acquisition, maybe a sensible one as well, with only a one-year contract. You know, I'm not sure if he'll be a starting player next season. I think he'll be, you know, a bit part player. If he can prove in the first few games that he's got the capability and match fitness to start more regularly, then, you know, maybe Kit will actually, you know, encourage him to play more often. But I seem to be on, you know, being a squad player, probably on the coming off the bench more often than not in the first few matches. And we'll wait and see. But it's, you know, you don't know what you're going to get with him. You know, he's injury prone. He was Blackpool's player of the season last year. Wolves signed him for £5 million 4 or 5 years back. So he's obviously rating is more like a celebrity, if anything, rather than a football player. So who knows? He comes with a reputation. Let's hope he can focus on the playing football on the pitch and do the job on the pitch rather than actually in the entertainment background outside of the football. But we'll see. Interesting signing. I'm not massively inspired, but I assume he's there to do a job, and maybe he might prove to be a useful acquisition and addition to our squad.
Well, what's interesting about this, Emilio, and we're going to talk about this a little bit because I'll share some of the thoughts from what the supporters had to say, and then I'll also share some statistics that I found on WhoScored.com that are actually very interesting. But what I will say about the signing, I see, first of all, I like the deal that it's a one-year deal. It's a prove-it deal. He has a lot to prove. And if he does well, then he might get a long-term deal either with Fulham or with someone else. So this to me is a win-win. I don't see this as a bad situation for Jamie O'Hara or Fulham. I think it's a good situation. Will he be a squad player? Will he be a regular? Again, the jury's out on that, and health is an issue. Like you mentioned, he is 28 years old. And you know what? He's healthy right now. And so we'll see how it all, you know, how it all works out. What I find interesting about this signing, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more, is now Fulham have signed several players in central midfield. So I think that this is a way to really give the players at that position some real good competition. He's there, you know, as just another member of the squad. Can he be a surprise signing that works out? Yes. Could he work out for the team? Absolutely. But I think the club are in a no-lose situation. If it works out, it's a bonus. Mm. And if it works out for him, he will get a good contract beyond this. So I think it's a win-win, Emilio.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think it reminds me a bit like Danny Guthrie. And, you know, last season, you know, we got him on loan, came in with us, you know, had potential when he was a lot younger. Maybe we didn't see the best of him when he was at Fulham for those 2 or 3 months in the second half of last season. But again, I see him in the same mold as Guthrie, a better version of Fothergill, who we signed a year ago. You know, so it's, you know, it can't do any harm to boost a squad, make, you know, put the other players under a lot more competition. You know, the likes of Tunnicliffe now we need to look over their shoulders if at all if he's still got a future with the club. So it's let's see. Does it? I'm always a big buyer of, you know, competition is good for your prospects, right, and working harder. And same with my line of business. Same with sportsmen. You're being pushed to the limit, and you know you've got someone knocking on the door. You know, up your game, or you're back on the bench. And you know, Jamie O'Hara's played at the top level. Maybe not played as many games as he would have liked through injury, but on the whole, he's got Premiership experience. He did an excellent job with Blackpool last year, and he will be knocking on the door. The question is for how many games, and I think that's a bit unproven. So I think the jury will be split around whether he can be more of a regular player or initially as a bit part. And you know, if he can prove his capability and his worth, then he may get a longer run in the squad.
Exactly. And listen, I've seen situations like this go both ways. I mean, players like this not able to make it. You know, I've actually seen that in several sports here in the U.S. Then I've seen other players really thrive in this situation, and they see it as a challenge, and it actually reinvigorates their career. Again, this is kind of what we would call here a reclamation project. You know, will he be able to reclaim his career, Emilio? I know that he had a decent season at Blackpool, but this is a different scenario for him at Fulham, because if he does well here, again, the club would want to re-sign him. And then also he might have other options for himself. So again, I see this as a good situation for him if he can step up his game, also a good situation for the club. All right, yeah. Emilio, I'm going to just share some thoughts first on the Cottage Talk Twitter page. And this is interesting. We're going to start with a couple of our co-hosts here. Let's start with Tim Gellis. This, who scored Hazen top 30 overall last season? Not bad for only playing half a season on a historically bad Blackpool team. Okay. Mike Gregg wrote, as a free, it's a good signing and gives a lot of competition, like we're talking about, in the middle of the pitch. Think he will do better than just the squad player a lot of people are saying he is. Could be key if he gets his eye early on. And that's a very good point by Mike Gregg. Let's see what else we've got here. I'm just scrolling through here, Emilio, and then I'll get your thoughts on it. I'm just going through just some more comments. Let's see. Guppy wrote, proof of the pudding is in the eating. Bad turn of phrase for O'Hara, but getting him fit and decent addition, I think. Okay. Alan Fulmstead expected him to sign. I've always rated him, and he could do well for Fulham. Martin Ward said, I feel it's a good sign of it's a free who knows the champ, you know, who does know the championship, and he can be a backup to Parker now and then. And that's something that we've also talked about. And before I go to the Facebook page. What are your thoughts about some of those comments on the Twitter page?
Certainly, the ones you've just read seem to be more in favour than against the signing. And I think, you know, I'm probably in that camp myself. But you know, again, I see, you know, nothing to lose situation, like we mentioned at the beginning of the show. And if we all remember, you know, when Danny Murphy joined Fulham, he sort of came back from maybe not too good spells at Tottenham and Charlton Athletic, if I recall. And, you know, he came at Fulham, went, I won't say towards the end of his career, but he had a point to prove where after sort of disappointing spells at those two London clubs. And maybe O'Hara is a similar type of player. It reminds you of Danny Murphy, you know, in terms of what he's capable of doing, like long ball, sprinting the ball out from midfield, looking for the quick pass, etc. A good eye for the short balls, etc. But maybe at 28, he's got a point to prove. You know, had to, you know, since a £5 million signing to Wolves, he really hasn't sort of stepped up to the mark. And, you know, I have concerns that obviously Blackpool, the only team who snapped him up 12 months ago, and that begs the question as to what's wrong with that Jamie O'Hara. Why weren't other clubs coming in for him? And was it just injuries that was putting people off? Or is there another agenda that we're not too clear of that we haven't yet seen within Fulham Football Club? But, you know, nothing to lose. We've got him on a free. He will boost the squad. He will be a good cover for Scott Parker. You know, if anything, could play alongside him more so than Ryan Tunnicliffe, and maybe has overall a better package to offer. But again, let's see. He's 28, and I just, like I said, it reminds me a bit like Danny Murphy when he joined the club. Didn't come back from that spectacular. He went through a sort of a dodgy spell at Charlton and Tottenham, and maybe there's something similar here. Maybe it's deja vu. Who knows? Maybe it could be an inspired signing, and you know, in 5-6 years' time, we can talk about the future of Fulham Football Club, the new captain of Fulham Football Club. Who knows? Nothing to lose. You know, I'm trying to be positive here, you know, from a sort of, you know, I won't say that an inspirational signing, but it goes back to what we've seen week in, week out. Another typical Mike Grigg signing, a British player, you know, good pedigree. Not necessarily the most inspiring of players, but will do a job at this level. And again, how many have we seen? The Richards, the Pringles, the Kearneys, they all sort of fit that sort of British type of player with good stats last season, you know, upside in potential. You know, so even Jamie Harrow at 28 still got more upside to prove if he can stay fit and play on a regular basis. So, yeah, so it's ticking all the boxes. I want to see if some foreign signings, maybe, if anything. Let's get a bit of balance in that team. It's getting very, you know, not saying it's bad to be having an all-British team lineup there, but, you know, maybe a bit of continental flair wouldn't go amiss as well. And that's what I'm a little bit worried about. We're going to go too British, too, you know, too basics. Maybe I want a bit more quality and flair that we may not have anymore with Brian Ruiz going. So it's just food for thought there.
No, listen, it is proof of thought. You know, listen, I'm hopeful that Tom Kearney is that type of player that you're talking about. But we shall see. Again, I have not seen him play yet, and I look forward to seeing him and also Pringle to see what they can offer. But let me just share a couple more comments. These were all on the Facebook page, and these are interesting as well. And you've already mentioned this one that Steve Powers is about to say. He was Blackpool Player of the Season. That's fascinating because now we have, you know, we got a Blackpool Player of the Season. Tom Kearney 2 years ago was the player of the season for Blackburn, and I believe Pringle was. I could be wrong. I could have sworn he was a player of the season as well. I could be wrong about that, but he was very well thought of with Rotherham. So again, it's very interesting that Fulham are targeting certain types of players. Let me read what Andrew Towner had to say. He said, "Always seems to have a decent game when I've seen him. Good passer, bags of relevant experience, and someone in the Murph mold, like you said, who can bring along LVC and Kearney, I feel." Ollie Asbro said, "Good cover from midfield." Alex Lowy said, "Definitely approve. Good stats in that abysmal Blackpool team last term. For example, second highest key passes per game in the league." I'm going to share with you that in a little bit. "1 year deal. Where's the risk? Good pickup." On another note, a few weeks ago, we were supposedly short in midfield. Now, after three signings, fans are calling for us to stop signing midfielders. Some fans are never happy. I actually want them to keep signing midfielders. I'm, you know, again, we could talk in a future show about Kevin McDonald. I want them to try to bring him in as well. Adam Riley, on a 1 year deal, I would say reserve mainly. And so again, we're getting a little bit of that. Colm Bugler said, "I approve. Suppose we'd better put in a bid for Leadbitter now. Because again, Leadbitter is part of these stats that I'm going to be sharing with you in a little bit, Emil. But what are your thoughts about some of those comments from the Fulham supporters?"
Yeah, so again, it seems to be leaning more like, you know, nothing to lose. You haven't paid a transfer fee for him. So that's sort of when Mike Gregg's talked often about the finances. Again, it ticks that box around we're not having to spend millions on proven players. So they're trying to find the players who've got the experience, who've come back off the back of a good couple seasons in the Championship. So hopefully they're going to look to get that continuity and bring that to Fulham Football Club. But, you know, what I'm seeing is trend of all, you know, very, I won't say very similar players, but sort of non-stylish at times, non-etiquette type of players. And I'm a bit worried that we're going to lose that sort of reputation for being like potentially a flair club. You know, it looks like the likelihood of Fofana coming to join the club seems like to be off the cards now. You know, I was actually looking forward to getting another year of him and looking to see him develop and, you know, and learning the trade at the Fulham Football Club. So it sounds like that's probably a no-go now. You know, George Williams, where's George Williams going to fit in next season? Sounds like he's going to go on loan, like Mike Gregg said on the last a couple of shows ago, until he proves his fitness. Emerson Heinemann, where are we going to see him next season? Kaká, a foreign player. So you can see where I'm going now. It seems like we're now focusing on very British. LVC aside, it seems like a very British, maybe non-stylish, non-etiquette type of squad. If it does its job to get us the points and push up the table, I'm not going to complain. But I still want to see a bit more flair and quality to balance that team. And have we got too many similar players now? Maybe that's just, I'm just throwing that out there for the other supporters if they listen to the show to comment on. But let's see. You know, it's not doing any harm. But what I don't want to do is keep boosting a squad and buying very similar players in to have cover for one another. But I still think we're short in central defence and we're still short of a striker, you know, as far as I'm concerned. And that's where I'd like us now to switch our focus on those gaps and reinforce squad. Then I might feel a little even more confident than I am. I think we'll have a better season coming up. But, you know, these signings, I think this is a sideways signing rather than an inspirational signing, but nothing to lose, like I've said on numerous occasions so far.
Okay, fair enough, Emil. You are certainly entitled to your opinion. I appreciate where you're coming from on that. And what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to share you some data and also a little bit of an article from Frankie Taylor that he wrote on hamian.com about the signing. And I think you might find it interesting, but let's just start here. And again, this is from whoscored.com. Very interesting place. If you're looking for stats, definitely go to whoscored.com. I'm sure most fans do. And I was there today because I wanted to get some information so you and I could talk about this. And let's start with something that one of the supporters already mentioned, that Jamie O'Hara was ranked 30th overall by whoscored.com out of all championship players last season, which again, I find interesting. But this is the stat that stands out here. Emilio, key passes per game. Jamie O'Hara in the championship last season, according to whoscored.com, was number two. He averaged 2.7 key passes per game. He had 8 assists overall. Ben Pringle, you're going to like this, was number four in this stat. He averaged 2.5 key passes per game, and he had 7 assists last season. Tom Kearney, number seven on this list on key passes. He's at 2.3 key passes per game, and he had 5 assists. Now, this is very interesting as well. I pulled this up. Ross McCormack was number 19 on this list. He was at 1.8 key passes per game, and he had 9 assists overall. And again, in case fans are wondering, because Fulham have been linked to this player, we'll see if this happens or not. But Kevin McDonald was ranked 27th in key passes per game, averaging 1.5 key passes per game, but he had 11 assists. Okay, Emil. And then I also just want to share this from the Hamian article by Frankie Taylor. Very interesting. He just wrote this. And again, please do go to hamian.com to read this. I'm going to share this with you because it kind of goes with what we're talking about. Again, this is from Frankie Taylor. He wrote, "The mess of his Wolves experience was no doubt a low in his career as he fell out with club supporters, picked up injuries, and was left allegedly sleeping on the sofa after the breakdown of his marriage with Danielle Lloyd. Seemingly fully fit, the midfielder displayed glimpses at Blackpool of a want to recalibrate his career with his unmet potential from his earlier career at Tottenham and loan club Portsmouth. From whose scored stats, Jamie O'Hara averaged the second highest key passes per game in the division with 2.7, just 0.1 behind leading man David Cottrell of Birmingham. The 8 assists of Jamie O'Hara last season was not only the highest tally of assists in his season for his career to date, but also higher than the likes of Alex Pritchard, Bakary Sakho, Henry Lansbury, Will Hughes, and Brian Ruiz, just to name a few. The Englishman has variety to his assist record also, a few from set pieces, a few from crosses, a couple from attacking passes shows he's not just a one-trick dead ball pony." Okay, that's from the article from Frankie Taylor. I highly recommend you go in there, Emilio, and to fans if they do listen to this. What are your thoughts about the stats I just shared about not just Jamie O'Hara, but the other Fulham players coming in? There's a little bit of a trend going on there, Emilio.
Absolutely. Very very interesting trend there. If you say McCormack's only 19th in that list, that's it. Very interesting. I'd like to see where Brian Ruiz is in that list. You know, I'm sure David Tully will be keen to know where Brian Ruiz fits into that stat. But yeah, very interesting stat. You know, the fact that we've signed 3 players with the highest key passes in the division last season, and that's promising. At the same time, looking on the other side of the coin, you know, how can these players sustain that level of quality and passing with a new club with potentially better players around them? So let's take Jamie O'Hara. You know, maybe he was the shining light in a very, very poor Blackpool team, which resulted in him having, you know, a very successful season. He was a standout player for them, not because he particularly was very effective, more the fact that he was the only player who was actually able to make something happen. And if he was actually doing the basic things and passing the ball to feet, then naturally your key passing assists will, you know, your tally would actually increase as a result of that. So I'm just trying to play a little bit, maybe looking at it slightly from a more pessimistic side of things. So that's why I feel maybe he did was Blackpool's player of the season, and also the fact that his stats were very high. So it's let's see, interesting. Those stats are interesting. I'm just slight apprehension that, you know, can these guys sustain the same level of quality with Fulham Football Club, new squad, new players, new teams? Let's see. But, you know, no two seasons are the same. I'm not saying they can't achieve the same level of quality next season, but, you know, we shouldn't just rest our laurels and accept that what they did last year is by default we're going to see the same quality this year. If anything, I hope better, but, you know, there's no two seasons are ever the same. So I'm just trying to just lower expectations again. As you know, I like to make sure that we don't get carried away with these stats. That's what I'm just trying to say. Not to say I disagree with them, but let's not always get carried away. The season's yet to start. We have more optimism and more belief this coming season, but let's just tame that optimism for a few moments until we actually start to see some preseason games and some wins early next season. Then we can start to talk more optimistically. But for now, it's only a better quality than we had this time last year. And, you know, we do have room for optimism, but let's just curb that somewhat.
I hear you, Emilio, because, again, we have to see how this all plays out. We have to see how all the players fit. And, you know, again, in the preseason, we should get a feel. But until you actually get to the season, will we really know how all these players fit? But that's going to lead me to ask you again, as we go a little bit further into this shortened show, you know, again, we're just going to be talking about Jamie O'Hara, but again, while we're talking about him, it got me to think about, do you think these signings I just mentioned to you, I mentioned about the key pass stat, do you think we are going to see a change of formation, a main formation from Kit this season? You know, again, does Jamie O'Hara make you feel that maybe Kit's going in a different direction in his formation, going away, you know, again, we talked about this on the last show, do you think he's going to be going away from the diamond?
I think he will. I think it's the players that he's brought in. You know, even Ben Pring, let's take Ben Pringle, could be a sort of a more championship better version of Brian Ruiz, who can make things happen, can keep things ticking along. You know, you've got the Jamie O'Hara's, if he is to start, I think we'll be back to the Danny Murphy mold, where he could start springing long passes, maybe more often than potentially Scott Parker, you know, short balls, you know, running around in circles, you know, kept possession reasonably well, but, you know, he's not getting any younger either. So we need to think of cover for him, and maybe Jamie O'Hara is a good backup for him in that squad. But I do see a change in formation. I think we've gone packing the midfield. It seems to be what the objective is for next season. You know, again, you're going to start seeing, how many times did we get out fought in midfield last season? What was our possession rates in most games last season? You know, we were always under the, on average, under 50%, then over 50%. So the key to next season is to keep possession, keep ball, you know, make things happen. And I think we will see a change in formation, in my opinion. You know, the players that he's bought, you're going to see these guys are not going to give the ball away cheaply. You know, so we're going to, we will be more competitive. We will be more harder to play against. We won't give the ball away cheaply. The opposition will have to work harder to get the possession of the ball compared to last season, where our stats were horrendous. Typically, we're always under 50%, even at home for home games. So that needs to change. And, you know, we're seeing LBC with the flair of LBC and quality of Ross McCormack. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, we've got goals in the squad, but we're going to be packing that midfield this season. And I think that's going to be the difference. And we'll secure back four, packing the midfield and getting Ross McCormack hopefully playing in his favoured position and scoring more frequently than he did last season. I think we will see a change of formation. I don't think that's Kit Simon's choice. That might be a mandate from Mike Rigg.
No, that's, you know, again, that's very interesting take there, Emilio. And I'm glad that you brought up Ross McCormack, because I think that many of these signings are to help him, you know, make him be the player that he is. Let him thrive in his role. I think that these players, you know, again, when you look at the key player stats, I think part of the reason why they're being brought in, Emilio, is to feed McCormack. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I think McCormack's, you know, return, considering he wasn't playing as an out-and-out striker for, you know, for many parts of last season, you know, that's testament to the quality of the player that he is. So, you know, if he plays in his favourite position, we've got the Pringles who can, you know, can make things happen, got a bit of pace, trickery up his sleeve. We can have better quality in central midfield and better backup for Scott Parker, then we just need to be more creative midfield and also keep ball more often. How often did we keep giving the ball away cheaply last season? I lose count every game. The frustrations, the simple balls seem to be made so difficult. And that goes back to Jazz Richards. Jazz Richards doesn't give the ball away. So this goes back around keeping ball, playing the simple passes, players linking up, players knowing where they're, you know, their players are next to each other. It's all about passing the ball. That's what football is all about, passing the ball and keeping ball. And sometimes we forget that when last season we weren't able to pass the ball, and B, we kept giving it away time and time again. These players gives me a lot more confidence that these are better holding players, better distribution of the ball, don't give the ball away cheaply, can pick an eye for a ball, can pick Ross McCormack for those key passes, and who knows, we might have a better conversion rate than last season. So all in all, promising, more promising, and you know, we've got room to be optimistic. But again, let's get the central defenders sorted out. Let's keep it tight at the back. Maybe get another forward as well. I believe with Mike Gregg, we need another forward.
Right. Listen, I'm not against bringing in another forward, but I totally agree with you. I want one or two center backs. I want an upgrade there. Nothing against the players that we have. I just think that we can do better at that position. And you could still have some of those players there, but I want more players in defense, especially at the center back position. I also seriously want a left back, and we'll see if that works out. But I don't think that they're done yet, Emilio. But again, some of the moves that they made so far for me are encouraging. I know what you're saying. Not get carried away. Let's see how it all fits. But if it fits the way that I'm hoping that it fits, I mean, this could be an interesting season. But again, we're far away from there. Before we wrap this up, I do want to ask you about Scott Parker. We have touched about it. Do you see some of these moves as I wouldn't say diminish his role with Fulham, but actually maybe lessen the load that he had last season?
Absolutely, and I think that's critical, because it's if the play of the season was measured by from August to January, I think most supporters would have given Scott Parker that play of the half season, whatever you want to call it. But you know, second half of the season, he did tire. You know, he did, you know, pick up a few more injuries, and he obviously wasn't a player as influential as he was in the first half of the season. So with better quality around him and better choice in the squad, Kit Simons will have the ability to rest him on more games, select him for those key games. So I still see Scott Parker being the captain and also being the player who's going to play in those key top-of-the-table clashes if we are in the upper reaches of the division. And the likes of Jamie O'Hara, if Tunnicliffe stays there, these are all players who are squad players who are more than capable to do a job. But you know, Kit Simons will have more players up his sleeve, better quality, and can rotate a lot better. You know, last season he didn't have that flexibility, or chose not to have that flexibility, maybe more to be more accurate. So I still see Scott as being our captain. I'd like to see him in 12 months' time retained and move into some sort of coaching role, possibly alongside Kit Simons if he's successful. And you know, we need to start thinking about who's going to be our next captain. I know it's still early days, we don't want to get carried away yet, but you know, unless the captain is key to the success and the confidence on the pitch, and you know, we need another leader on that pitch. And at the moment, I'm struggling to see who that will be beyond Scott Parker at the moment.
That's a very good point. You know, I wasn't even thinking about who's going to be the next captain. That's a wonderful point. And that's something that maybe we can talk about on our next show, my friend. Listen, this was an enjoyable half hour to do with you. I enjoyed breaking down the signing of Jamie O'Hara, but going even a little bit deeper into the whole situation with Fulham. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, Russ. It was a pleasure to join.
Okay, fantastic. Before we go, just a reminder, you can download Cars Talk on iTunes and on the Stitcher Radio app, which is available on the iPhone, iPad, and the Android. Also, you can listen to Cars Talk on the TuneIn app, which is available at most app stores for your mobile device. Well, that's going to be it for this episode. For Emilio Danella, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Emilio.
Thank you. Goodbye, Russ. Have a good evening. Boys and girls.